This is Cyber Defense Radio with your host and cybersecurity expert, Gary Malefsky. Gary brings to you another globally recognized cybersecurity executive in the hot seat today.
Sitting in my hot seat today is a very special guest, Tim Eads. He is the co-founder and CEO of a very exciting company in cybersecurity, Anetac.com, A-N-E-T-A-C.com. Tim, you guys discover, monitor, and respond to one of the biggest soft underbelly problems we all have. And I heard that 94% of CISOs admit they don't have visibility into what this is. Tell us what it is and how you do it.
Yeah, it's definitely a soft underbelly. And it's one of those things. It's not a someone problem. It's an everyone problem. So it's fascinating whether you're a venture firm, whether you're a hospital, whether you're a bank, whether you're a telco. Certain telcos have 5 million of these. Banks we know that have 1.8 million of these. So the way they look at it as a service account is, let's say Gary owns a hotel. Gary has 1,000 rooms. Gary has obviously the room service guy. He doesn't carry around 1,000 keys. He has one key that gets him around everywhere. The maintenance guy, he has one key. The boss has one key. And then they go build this new wing. This is called the new wing, Cloud. And Cloud has his own maintenance man, its own room service person and everything else. But then they change jobs. But they don't revoke the permissions of that person because he might go back. Then Jimmy, the maintenance man, you know, he loses his key. Johnny, he leaves the organization altogether. No one turns off these keys. And then what happens is over time, it's compounds and compounds and compounds. And these keys are highly privileged, incredibly important to the organization because they have access, you know, to the databases and everything else where everything's kept. And then you get into real problems. And so that's how we explain it to the people that are not super techie. But honestly, this is a problem that everyone has. What we do is we discover and monitor and respond to these service accounts. The superpower you have has got to be in discovery, because if you discover something, the efficacy of discovery is critical. Otherwise, you don't know the completeness of what you're monitoring, and you don't know exactly how to respond. And the types of response will vary. We have some classic examples where, you know, one organization had a service account that's 34 years old. So wow. The actual person who owned it retired before the account was retired. Of course, nothing's documented. We had another one where, and one of our favorites is where a developer had set it up so his service account would communicate to his girlfriends, more than one girlfriend, bit of a problem already, of why he was going to be late that day home from work. So it would sync with his calendar out. Another one orders pizzas. These things are crazy. We did a retailer the other day where at the point of sale, so let's say Gary's checking out, so the point of sale devices, all the credentials were 10 years old, right? At these things. And it's just crazy. I mean, we have stories that just blows your mind. But the good news is, you know, we made it really simple to deploy, like really simple. No one wants to deploy agents or anything stupid like that. You want to bring the value out of the things that you've already bought, very quickly understand it, and then go, look, here's the impact, because you've got to be able to prioritize and help people understand the impact and risk associated with them, and then go, what do you want to do with them? This is what we recommend. And then you create these workflows based on them. It's a really fascinating problem. This is my fourth company, right? So obviously I'm old and gray and losing my hair and everything else. Before starting this company, we actually interviewed a whole bunch of our friends and said, 35 of them, to be honest, should we go do it? And everybody's like, go do it. This is a hard one. So that's what we did.
That's awesome. And Tim, 80% of breaches in the past year, from what I gather, were identity-based exploits. In other words, there was vulnerabilities in the identity. If you can get somebody's credentials, especially a service account, you can have lateral movement, you can have data leakage, you can plant back doors, you can live off the land, you can do a lot of bad things.
Yeah, yeah. So Anetac, if you transpose it, is container, which is Italian for chain. So think like a service account goes to an application, goes to Lambda, goes to GitHub. What you'll see is you have to understand the connected risk to actually understand really the exposure and the risk exposure. It's not enough to look at it on its own. You have to see what it's part of in a broader story. And then you can actually understand the stack privileges and what to do about it. One of the things when CircleCI got breached last year, everybody was forced to rotate with their credentials, but nobody knew if they did it, what was the impact downstream? Because none of these things are documented, and so nobody actually understood it. So, you know, we have, you know, the team here has like, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 years of expertise in graph databases and understanding, you know, how these things are stacked together in chains. So we applied it to this particular problem and again, really made it simple to use.
Do you use AI and machine learning? Do you scan logs? How do you get the data and how quick? Let's say I'm a mining company with 50,000 accounts. I don't know. I've got all these access and credentials and I've got OT and I'm worried about, you know, hackers causing damage, maybe even human lives in jeopardy, or maybe I'm a water power or water supply. Sure. I mean, it seems critical infrastructure and manufacturing, they have so many of these accounts that they're not even aware of.
Oh, yeah. It's, you know, we go into an environment, whether it's airlines, whether it's tech companies, telcos, whatever it is, and typically discover 40 to 50% more accounts than they actually thought they had.
How do you do that? And how quick is it to deploy Anatech's Dynamic Identity Vulnerability and Security Platform?
Yeah, so we don't do POVs and we don't do POCs. We do assessments, right? Because if you think about it, it's a hygiene problem, right? So what happens is we go in, we do an assessment. The assessment typically lasts between 4 and 15 days. But what we do is we walk into an environment. So we talk to Gary at you know, whatever pizza company. We will go get a bunch of the logs. So think of it out of your Splunk or your Sentinel or whatever it may be, any sort of logging device, or Windows service logs or Linux logs. So we get that even from a domain controller. And then what we'll do is we'll enrich it with stuff from Active Directory or HRID or LDAP, LDAPS. And then we just do a quick snapshot during an assessment. And so we made it really, really simple. Just dump it into an S3 bucket and we will build that map. We will very quickly show you the exposure you have, you know, because this really, if you think about it, like you correctly said, is about preventing breaches. So it's really understanding your identity vulnerabilities as it relates to your attack surface. And, you know, we will show value probably within an hour. We ask for people to let it run for a couple of days. We'll publish a report. We got some gems recently in some reports, but you know, that's what it does. And then people go from there. They go, okay, what do I want to do with it next? And then we work with them on what we would call a treatment plan.
Is the treatment plan, you know, workflow remediation to remove maybe non-human accounts or human accounts that are expired or should have been expired, or, you know, Jimmy retired and he's got 52 accounts connecting to different girlfriends or whatever. What's the treatment plan and how long does it usually take? I assume it's based on the client size, but is there some automation in this?
Absolutely, there's some automation. But first of all, you have to understand the breadth of the problem, right? So if a developer opens up 5,000 service accounts in a week, that's a different type of treatment. You go back to the owner of the business, start it off in Jira and ServiceNow, and you go back to the business and, you know, Johnny went rogue. What's he doing? He's avoiding the process. Then as it relates to, you know, hey, this is a dormant account. You know, what do you do with this? This account hasn't been touched in 20 years. What do you do with? So there's a different kind of like pick your journey on the treatment plan, depending on the actual challenge. I mean, you know, we had an organization the other day that had unconstrained delegation, which means that particular user could access absolutely anything. And he had been hit by NTLM V1, you know, 5 times in 13 days or something. That's a very urgent type of remediation effort. It's different. So what you find is when you go into an organization and you do one of these assessments, and like I said, they pop out really fast. You have an assessment, then you go, okay, well, where do I start? How do I start? And your treatment plan and automation level depends on the size and the challenge of the risk and sometimes the age of the risk. I mean, some of these things, like I said, we did an organization the other day, it was like 19 years old, some of that stuff was. And wow. And it just sits there and, as you know, it's just waiting for a hacker to get in. And so you have to, you know, I think these days, and obviously, you know, been around the block with a bunch of CISO friends, these days, the CISOs have to partner more and more and more with the line of business. But in this case, they have to turn around and go, this is the path I need to get solved quickly. But I have to say one particular thing, it's great working on this company because you're solving a problem that everybody has, all of your friends have it. And if you can do that, you know, in your life and just solve problems for your friends, it's just awesome.
That's wonderful. It sounds like you guys are onto something big because, again, the identity-based surface, it's really an attack surface that hasn't been challenged by the defenses, by us cyber experts. It's been challenged by the cyber criminals and the cyber attackers. And I remember just, I mean, even worming, the WannaCry worm that took down the UK's health system, you know, the first ransom worm, that exploited Active Directory. And when that happened, I said, aha, there's a problem with identity management. If you can exploit the AD server, we're in big trouble. And that's just a tease. It must be much worse now since WannaCry.
Oh, it's got a lot worse. I mean, if you think about it strategically, it's about APIs, it's about tokens, it's about services. So you, look, we strongly believe that if you've, you know, invested heavily into like a CyberArk or something like that, that's a great product. And I've known Udi for 15 or 20 years. Those are great people, those are great products. But what we do is we want to make your existing identity products, your identity program, your fabric of products stronger. So what we do is we take these things that we have discovered and plug it into those guys to update those programs and you know, and to keep the PAM and the IAM products in place, but up to date with the latest discoveries. And so whether it's a Kerberosing attack on a single request or conditional access bypass, some of the products you know, that are out there today were just not built to understand that. But nevertheless, if you fully deployed CyberArk or Delinea or whatever, we want to plug into those things and make them aware of these things and make your overall service program, your identity service program, stronger.
That's wonderful. And I would assume if we look at the MITRE ATT&CK framework, you're inherently critical to stopping these lateral movement breaches and these identity-based breaches where they have the keys to the castle if they get the right service account.
Yeah, they get into the right service account. We helped a company last year that was a West Coast company. And we also look at sources and destinations of these accounts, right? How, if you got it, how big is the blast radius? You know, not just one hop, but multiple hops. And their sources and destinations, it was like 16 in, like 600 out. And you're like, you know, you got to tidy this up. And that's the thing you have to go solve.
That's wonderful. And is AnnAttack available for SMBs, mid-market? Are you selling through MSP channel partners? Is it direct? Is it just for the big guys because they have the biggest problems?
Oh, no. We sell through channels around the world. We call them community members, service providers, all different types of shapes and forms. It's actually free for our partners to use and to help them understand the problem. Again, it's only their short-term assessment, so that's great. And we do it for colleges, universities, banks, telcos. It's great because it's a consistent problem, and which is nice. And then what you do is you abstract the complexity from the user and just make it really simple for people to use. We will turn on, I think in July, we only launched a company at RSA, which is what, probably 4 months ago, something like that, right? I think we turned on 10 customers every week. 10 customers in July. I think we're turning on 20 in August. But it's, again, if you make it simple and then you make it really fast to use, it's really an interesting opportunity.
So you discover these identity vulnerabilities and the identity vulnerability surface and the attack chain. You monitor. Tell me a little bit about the monitoring. It sounds like we've covered a lot on the response, which is a whole process. But what about monitoring? What are the kinds of things you monitor? What do you see happening?
Yeah, great question. So on monitoring, right? So we're a behavior-based streaming solution, right? So what happens is when you're streaming the information in, your service accounts are a behavior more than just a static declared thing, right? So also you've got to understand how things are being manipulated. So if the service accounts, you know, if the credentials were elevated at 2 o'clock in the morning, then went down at 3 o'clock in the morning, you've got to see that. And a scanning solution won't see that. A static solution won't see that. But what a hacker does, right? He'll go through the door and shut it behind him. And so what you have to do is you have to monitor these things. So by monitoring it, you can actually understand behavior and you can understand how things change. And then you can start to really understand what you're trying to do and the context behind it. And this is, you know, some people out there will go like, we can solve all your service account problems in 90 days. Honestly, only a complete Muppet would say that. You know, because some things are seasonal, some things change, right? You need to be careful what you shoot, otherwise you'll take down a legitimate business process. So, you know, you have to monitor over time. Now, don't get me wrong, there's certain things you have to go remediate, you know, right away, like unconstrained delegation. But other things you just have to monitor. So monitoring is critical. It gives you the behavior element over time, which it really improves the efficacy of the remediation.
I have a feeling there's a critical report that could be pulled out of your system for two purposes. One is my cyber insurance policy when I'm up for renewal to maybe get a better price because I'm locking down the most critical vulnerability that's exploited the most, identity vulnerability. And number two, compliance, regulatory compliance.
Yeah, compliance is a big one. Go back to your insurance one. Is the other one now that is actually coming up is what we're sharing to people. Hey, you know, look, this is how exposed you are. Are you exposed on your cyber insurance policy? Because if you are breached, if you don't take care of this, there's going to be a challenge on actually claiming. And so particularly when it's really bad, when we go into organizations and, you know, we deploy them all the time, and you'll see all these challenges and you're like, your cyber insurance policy might not pay out. You need to go check. But yeah, it's an interesting dynamic right now.
And your solution is on-prem and in the cloud or both? Is it hybrid? Because I would assume a lot of the service accounts are behind the corporate firewall.
Yeah, so it's a SaaS solution delivered to solve, you know, on-prem or cloud customers. So if Gary has, you know, Gary and Tim's Pizzeria is running in Azure, great. If it's Gary and Tim's Pizzeria and we have data centers and cloud, that's great too. What we found when we were starting the company is, you know, you've got to solve on-prem and cloud because our customers have it. Our customers are typically regulated. And like you say, have cyber insurance policies. And these on-prem stuff are just a gem. I mean, it's just a gem. Some of the oldest problems around, you just can't make some of the stuff up. But like I said, it's a great problem to solve if you have the right way to solve it and do it, you know, quickly and easily.
And Tim, it would seem to me that the HR department needs to be somehow plugged into this because we've got people that have left the building and they still have service accounts. We have people that we might be letting go. We have new people onboarding. So our companies are dynamic to begin with. And I would hope that the CISO and the HR are aware. And then the other thing is, I wonder if you've, and it may be early in the game, but you've discovered so many service accounts for systems or solutions that could be replaced or shut down or consolidated to save money given economic circumstances.
Yeah, so your comment regarding HR largely goes to ownership. What we want to be able to do is make sure that, again, you go back to the CISO, is now more aligned with business than ever before. They want to know it's Jimmy who's in trading or commodities or whatever it is that has his old account. So connecting the accounts to the owner helps align the CISO to, you know, the business and the business processes. So that's always good. I think the opportunity here is truly special, truly special, all across the board.
Absolutely. It's green pastures for a company like yours. So, Tim, is there anything we haven't talked about, haven't covered, that you'd like to share with our viewers and listeners?
Yeah, I do think that I always look at this it is a hygiene problem. It is an everyone problem. But the path on this thing is way easier than what people think. I think what happened was, if you look back, you know, 15, 20 years ago, people weren't using graph databases at all. People weren't using time series at all. And, you know, the technologies have matured really well. So now it's a really interesting opportunity to go solve. And it should be, you know, I think should be number one on the list to go solve this year.
What kind of call to action do you recommend our viewers and listeners?
Yeah, my call to action would be reach out to the community, the partner members, the MSSPs, the vulnerability assessment teams, and say, hey, let's go do a quick assessment. This is frictionless. All you're doing is taking some logs and some inventory stuff and do a quick assessment. And then you can attest to your cyber insurance people. You can attest to the business process and your compliance that you've looked at it and you have understood it.
That is great advice. Folks, you heard it here first from Tim Eads, the co-founder and CEO of a very hot company, ANETAC.com, anetac.com. Continuously discover, monitor, and respond to identity vulnerabilities, the biggest problem we all have.
You've been listening to Cyber Defense Radio. Stay tuned next time for another amazing and informative episode. CyberDefenseRadio.com is proudly part of the Cyber Defense Media Group, where InfoSec knowledge is power.
Cyber Defense TV and Cyber Defense Radio have launched 24/7/365 live streams. Visit them online today at cyberdefense.tv and cyberdefense.radio. With your host and globally recognized cybersecurity expert and my good friend, Gary Milewski.